He and his friends were kayaking off the coast of New Zealand. And Kim and I did some of that when we went to Jamaica. We saw a lot of fish. We saw a lot of coral reef. We really enjoyed it. This group found themselves surrounded by a pod of playful seals. And so, of course, if that's what happens, you stop and you watch them play. Seals can be funny creatures. They do a lot of things in the water that are amazing to watch. Out of nowhere, a particularly excited, maybe energetic seal approached this guy's kayak, surfaced, and slapped him in the face with, you guessed it, an octopus. And now how you catch that on film, I don't know. Those are the things that I miss. All right, I can get pictures of things that nobody wants to see. But slapped in the face with an octopus. Newsflash. Life does not prepare you for that moment. All right, there is nothing you can do that prepares you to be slapped in the face by an octopus-wielding seal. Even with all the planning in the world, even with all of the routines that we have and the habits that we have where things are supposed to roll in the order we expect them to and plans are supposed to happen as we have them laid out, nothing prepares you in all of your diligence to get slapped in the face by an octopus. Life, guess what? It's going to throw you a curveball when you're sitting on fastball. And it's going to do it every day. I can attack the most simple task in the world in my home. I can be trying to take out the trash, and somehow there's a runaway octopus in the trash can that's going to slap me with something that I didn't expect. When that happens, what? All our preparation flies out the window. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to act. We don't know how to respond to an octopus in the face. If you have ever seen a single... Abby, I am so sorry. Glad you feel better, girl. Glad you're here. If you've ever seen a single episode of Big Brother, you know the name of the game. The rule of the game is expect the unexpected. Guess what? That's life. That is life. We can do all the preparing in the world. We can have it all planned out on paper. We can write it on our calendar in ink that says it's unmovable. And then there's life. And it is going to move things and it is going to slap you with an octopus. So let's go to James 4. James allows us to be privy to a conversation taking place between some businessmen. And in verse 13, listening in, James addresses them saying, come, you who say, and this is what they're saying, this is the conversation we're listening to. Today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city. We're going to spend a year there, and we're going to engage in business and make a profit. They have their itinerary for the next year written in stone. Now, it may not be today, but we're going to leave at least tomorrow, and we're going to travel to such a city, whichever one they choose, and we're going to stay there for a whole year. And while we're there, we're going to do whatever it is they're in the business of doing, and we're going to make some money. What about the octopus that none of us counts on? What if the weather disagrees? All right, what if tornadoes run you out of town? What if floods keep you from crossing the river into the city? What if the government there doesn't issue a license? What if they don't want what you're selling in that town, and so the city council says take it to the town next door? What happens if the economy turns sour and there's no money left for whatever luxury you're trying to sell? And then James asks, verse 14, to paraphrase, what if you drop dead? You know, life's a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. What if you don't even get to leave town tomorrow because you're going to a funeral? Or what happens if you get down the road a few miles on your way to the next town, and then you drop dead. Life's short. Life gets interrupted. Life is unpredictable. Life is full of flying octopi. What do you do then? Businessmen in James, what do you do? You know, do you go to the next city, or do you go to the next, or you stop selling what you're selling and you try to sell something else? Do you shorten the time frame when you're in one place where maybe you don't wear out your welcome? Have you planned for the contingencies? Have you planned for every contingency? Then James points out the major fault. They left God out of the equation. They left God out of their plans. Read on through down verse 15. You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. Jump back to verse 13. Is there any mention in there of God being included in the plans? Not at all. This is the plan. We're going to leave today. We're going to leave tomorrow. We're going to go to such and such a city. We're going to engage in business. We're going to make a profit. They're not concerned whether or not God agrees with the plan. James goes on to say that failure to include God in the plan is arrogance. Why? What did we sing? He's the one that holds tomorrow in his hands, not me. I don't have any idea what's going to happen in the morning when I wake up. He goes on and adds the fact that to be that arrogant is actually evil. Man, what a strong word. That's the word that we use when we describe someone who murders children. That's someone who word that we use to describe someone who is a rapist. James says to be so arrogant as to not include God in your plans is evil. Now then, I want you to understand that does not mean we're not supposed to plan. It does not mean we're not supposed to have long-term goals. In fact, we're spending our Wednesday nights talking about some long-term goals. But I want to point out a few things that it does mean tonight, some things that I hope you will take with you when you leave here. Number one, the last verse in the reading, it means we do what needs to be done right now. Right now. Because life is short. God has given us things to do. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. So James says to the one who knows to do the right thing and does not do it, to him it's sin. And so there are certain things that I just cannot put off until tomorrow. Because I may not get around to them. Life may interrupt. I may get hit by the flying octopus. I may drop dead. All kinds of things can interfere. So James says, if it's the right thing to do and it needs to be done, do it right now. Don't put it off. Number two, what are we talking about tonight? It means include God in the planning. His will. We kind of talked about that this morning. I don't have a will anymore. If I'm in Christ, I am controlled by His will. And so when I mark out my calendar, when I make my plans for business, when I make my plans for my social life, when I make my plans for my family, God has to be involved in it. I have to include asking Him permission to accomplish this. That it's what He wants for me. I have to include His guidance in it. You know, sometimes my plan is to go in such and such a city, and God knows I need to go to some other city. And so when He guides, I have to allow Him to direct me. Jonah was bound and determined he was not going to Nineveh. So he gets on a ship going the other direction. God said, I'm going to guide you whether you want me to guide you or not. You're going to Nineveh. So sometimes God uses the flying octopus or the big fish or the storm at sea to say, hey, you're headed the wrong direction. Your plans aren't my plans. It's time to turn around. It includes the idea of including His help in my plans. God, I need to accomplish something, and I need Your help to accomplish it. I cannot do it on my own. Number three, I really believe it does mean plan. I already said that it doesn't mean that we're not supposed to plan. I mean it actually includes the idea of us planning. In the book of Genesis, Joseph is exactly where God needs him to be. And Joseph knows that. And he is the dream interpreter. And so Pharaoh's had the dream. We know it. You know, you've got the cows that are being consumed. And you've got the corn and all of this going on. And Pharaoh says, come here. You're my last hope. Somebody told me that you can interpret this dream. What's it mean? It means you're going to have 7 good years and 7 bad years. And the bad years are going to consume everything from the 7 good years. So what does Joseph say? Let's make a plan. Let's survive the famine. Let's store some stuff up. Let's think long term. So God's not telling us not to plan. If life continues, tomorrow we'll be here. And if it continues long enough, next year will be here. And the next year will be here. And so there has to be something in the planning to survive more than this exact moment. Another example, Luke chapter 16. And I want to read this one. Luke chapter 16, starting verse 1. He was also saying to the disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. This steward was reported to him as squandering his possessions. All right, this man's in trouble. He's been busted. Somebody ratted him out that he's not been doing his job the right way. So the boss calls him in. What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, because you're no longer going to be steward. The steward says to himself, what shall I do? My master is taking away my stewardship. I don't have a job. I don't like physical labor. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm too ashamed to beg. So here's what I'm going to do. When I'm removed from the stewardship, they will receive me in their homes. And here's how he does it. He summons each one of his master's debtors. And he begins to tell each one of them, or ask each one of them, how much do you owe? And one would say, I owe 100 measures of oil. And he said, take your bill and sit down and write 50. Well, that man's now 50 barrels of oil into his debt. Said to another, how much do you owe? 100 measures of wheat. Take your bill and write 80. His master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. Now, then I'm going to stop there and I'm going to explain something very quickly to you. God is not justifying us doing immoral things in our business practices to get ahead. The master, not the Lord, praises this man for what he's done. But Jesus is holding up an example so that in verse 9, listen to him. Make friends for yourselves by means of the mammon unrighteousness, money of this world, that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. Now then, understand again, he is not commending the steward's actions. But Jesus does say, be as smart as the world. Plan ahead. Use what I've given you in the right way that you make friends with the world so that you have somewhere to go if you're broke. Plan. Have a plan for tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. By the way, you sluggard, go to the ant and pay attention. Spends the summer getting ready for the winter. Planning ahead. But it also means expect the unexpected. After feeding the 5,000, what did Jesus have the disciples do? Pick up what's left over. 12 basketfuls. Why? So there's no waste. So that you've got the next meal. So that when they come back in a couple of days and they're wondering about the bread, Jesus could look at them and say, did you just forget what I just did for you? Did you just forget that I told you to pick up 12 baskets of leftovers? Did you just forget that I'm going to provide for you? Now, I can't plan for absolutely every contingency in life, but I can be wise enough to know that things are going to happen that I'm not expecting. And I can have some measure of a plan in place to deal with those things. So listen to me as we get ready to close. I have no idea what's around the corner. I have no idea what you're going to wake up to in the morning. You may wake up to the fact that the bottom fell out of your hot water heater and your house is 6 inches deep in water. You may wake up to butterflies and rainbows. I have no idea. I have no idea what I'm going to wake up to in the morning. I may wake up to wealth. I may wake up to poverty. I may wake up to health. I may wake up deathly ill. I may wake up to life. I may wake up dead. I could wake up to flying octopi. I do know who knows what's coming tomorrow. And the reason he knows what's coming tomorrow is because God's already there. He's already waiting to guide us through whatever slaps us in the face. Whatever happens that we expect and whatever happens that we do not expect, he's there to hold our hands in the storm. So what do? I plan. I involve God in the plan. And I expect surprises. And then when they come, I ride the waves and I enjoy the ride. And I survive it because God carries me through it. And I grow and I come out on the other side. Most important thought. In all of that planning, I plan for eternity. I prepare for it. I cannot prepare for every contingency in life, but I can prepare for the most important event. I can be ready when Jesus returns. If the Lord wills is a phrase that should be a part of our vocabulary. But more importantly, it should be a part of the way we live. Now then, as I say that, I want you to understand something. There are certain things that we say, well, if the Lord wills, I'll be at church tomorrow. God wills for you to be at church tomorrow. All right. Something else may intervene. But there's one thing I can guarantee you. It is the Lord's will for you to be saved. And so he's going to help you navigate the sea of life in your kayak. And he's going to help you survive all of the flying octopi, all of the seals that are out to get you. And he's going to help you get to the gate. That's his will, if you will let him, if you will walk with him. So make your plans. Include God in the plans. Expect the unexpected, but know in the end that God holds it in the palm of his hand. And it's going to be all right, regardless what comes. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, if you need to include God in your plans, if you need to make it right that you haven't been including God in your plans and you've been getting upset that things weren't working out the way you wanted them to, and you've been blaming on God and yet you hadn't included him in it, you can do that too. If you need to obey the gospel, God is waiting to escort you into eternal life. Let him, as we stand and sing.